Can somebody agree by saying amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm looking and reading from Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard, he put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. The second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy who? Neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All right, let's go to the second scripture found in John. John chapter 14 in verse 21. John chapter 14 in verse 21. He says, He that has my commandments, this is Jesus speaking, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it's he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I'll manifest myself to him. Okay? So love is not a feeling. We express our love for God as we keep his commandments. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Remember what he said. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. And in 1 John chapter 3, he says, and I'm reading now at verse 7. Okay. Just a minute. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John, yeah. 1 John chapter 3 and verse. Come on, William. What did I do with this? Just a minute. Hold on. Don't get antsy. Look at 1 John chapter 3, chapter 5. In verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his what? Commandments. And his commandments are not what? Grievous. Anybody remember what grievous means? Yeah. Heavy, burdensome, hard to do. He's not going to ask you to go out here and run the marathon tomorrow if you really love him. That's not the idea. The idea is that God is giving you something that really simply is easy to do, but it usually takes faith to do it. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what I mean. Remember, Jesus came to the wedding supper, a feast in Cana. And remember, they had run out of wine. You remember that? Now, they had been drinking for a week, so that it's been these boys had put down some stuff already. And what happened was, Mother of Jesus turned to Jesus and said, they have no wine. He said, what is that to me? My hour has not yet come. And then she said, whatever he said to you, she turned to the servants, whatever he said to you, just do it. You get what I'm saying? And this is what he said, fill the water pots up with water. Now, apparently they had some water in them, but they weren't filled. He said, fill them up. There were 6 water pots there. And of 2 or 3 frictions apiece, 20 or 30 gallons apiece. So these water pots held, let's say, 30 gallons. So 30 gallons of water, okay, in each pot. And now he's going to turn this water to wine. And each gallon has 4 quarts in a gallon. So if I multiply 4 times 30, 120. And then I multiply that times 6. Am I right about it? 720. So that's 720 bottles of wine right there. Okay, you think that'll hold somebody? 720 bottles of wine. I'm trying to bring it home so you can see what I'm talking about. See, sometimes we read this Bible and say, ooh, blah, blah, blah. No. This is all practical stuff. Okay? So notice what he said. Okay. After they filled it up, he said, okay, because notice what God does. He gives you one step at a time. And notice what he said. Now dip this out and carry it to the governor of the feast. And he carried it to him, and the governor tasted it. Whoa! Says, down where I came from, they would have done this. Whoa. You know. He said, man, you saved the good wine till now. And so the best wine till now. Now, notice the water turn to wine. Now, what kind of thing did they do to get it to turn to wine? What did the servants do? What did the servants do? They just filled it up and did what? And dipped it out and took it to the governor's feet. Am I right about that? Was that a natural step? Wait a minute. Now, let me go back through it. If you fill a water, just a jar up, and take a teaspoon and bring it to me, is that a natural step? Yes, it's natural. See, he's going to give you something easy to do. But on the way, it turned to wine. See, supernatural. See, both of them go together. You give the natural, he puts on the super. Are you following what I'm saying? Let's say it like this. Put a little soup on your natural. And this water turned to wine. How about another one? Here, four lepers. They say, why are we going to sit here till we die? If we go into Israel, that camp, they're starving. If we sit here, we're going to die. Let's go into the enemy's camp. But notice, it's not hard to do, but it's going to take faith. Am I right about it? Because the enemy could have what? Killed them. But notice, by the time they got there, God had made the enemy to hear noises and the enemy ran off. So God can make you run when nobody's chasing you. Are you following what I'm saying? So when he tells you to do something, it's not grievous. It's going to be easy to do, but if you just do that step, he'll do the supernatural. All right, praise God. Okay. All right. So, but my point to you is in verse 3, he that loves me, loves God, for this is the love of God that you keep his commandments. That's my point. My point is that you just don't read this word, but faith without what? Works is dead. And you got to do it, but it's not grievous. He's not going to tell you to do something grievous. He might tell you to go up and mention something to somebody. Go up and invite them to church. Not hard to do, but it takes a little faith to do that. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. Or to bring some flowers home to your wife. Amen. I didn't get a lot of amens out of that from the men, but that's all right. The women said amen, but the men didn't say anything. Amen. Say right on something, do something. Okay. Now, as we look at the subject that we're teaching on now, possessing a mountain, what we're talking about is that every one of us is a gifted. You didn't come in this earth without a gift. And so as we are gifted, God develops our gifts. We found out in Proverbs that God will take that gift and like a diamond, he'll polish a gift. And then it says the gift will make what? Room for you and bring you before what kind of men? See, not people of obscurity, bring you before great men. So God will do that for you. Now that's his plan for you. Now look at the end game of what God's after. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. Now I want to read this out of a couple of translations. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of Christ. Of faith. And look what it says. I want to read this same thing out of the Living Bible translation. Now, just track me now. It is clear that God promised to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not because Abraham obeyed God's laws, but because he trusted God to keep his promise. Wow. All right. Now, that's a New Testament. Oh, you got that up there. You got the Living Bible. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Let's look at that same scripture out of the Amplified. Okay. I want you to get this in because this is end game. Say end game. This is where you're going. This is where God wants to take you because the people of God are going to recoup the earth. Amen. See? All right. Look what it said. For the promise of to Abraham or his posterity. Posterity means those people going after you. In other words, my ancestors are people behind me. My posterity are people before me, in the same family now. And that he should inherit the world did not come through the observing the commandments of the law, but through the what? righteousness of faith. Let's drop down to verse 16. And in verse 16, let's just take it out of the Amplified first. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of what? Faith. And depends entirely on what? Faith. In order that it might be given as an act of what? Grace. Unmerited what? Favor. To make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of who? Abraham. Who is the what? Father of us all. If you've been born again, he's the father of faithful. He's the one that went on before us. He's the one that operated in faith, that we look to him as Father Abraham. Now, we know Jesus is our Lord. Praise God. All right. Now, let's look at that same scripture out of the Living. Can you do it in Living Bible translation? I just want you to see this because it meant so much to me. So the promise is received by what? Faith. It is given as a what? Underlined free gift. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like who? Abraham. Let's just stop right there, okay? Now, this is the thing that he wants us to do. He wants us to recoup the earth. Now, you're not going to do it except by faith, because only through faith can you get past the enemy's strongholds. So you cannot get past his stronghold. Now, what do we say is happening? One of the things that's happening is that the culture is shifted. It's going downhill. All right? So three things. One, God gives us superior principles that we're going to be operating in. Principles such as love and joy and peace and long-suffering, integrity, justice, honesty, so forth and so on. He gives us these principles to operate. Now understand, we read about in Galatians chapter 5, we read about what the principles were of darkness that the enemy operates in. And they're called the works of the flesh. And he said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, rash, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, so forth and so on. All right? So that's not what we're supposed to have now, because we have another nature inside of us, which starts at verse 21 and, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, come on, peace, long suffering, so forth and so on. Meekness. Okay? That's us. That's us. So we don't have to get revenge on anybody. We don't have to lie and cheat and steal. Come on, say amen here. So my point to you is that we have a new nature. Now, this has got to be the nature that we focus on as we're climbing up into the positions that God has for us. Where does he want us to go? To position to the top. To positions of influence. Say influence. Why? Because influence is the best way to lead people. Is to lead through influence. Say amen. Amen. There are some people that say, hey, let me have water now. There's some people that say, you know, don't do what I do, do what I say do. Well, that's not a very good leader at all. See? And thank you very much. Appreciate it. So we are positions of influence. Now, God is placing you in a mountain that you are going to, he's going to establish you and raise you up in that mountain to be a person of influence. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, don't look at yourself, because it's by faith that it might be by what? Grace. See, God is going to empower you. Now, the next thing I'm going to teach on is I'm going to teach on the blessing again. And you're going to see that blessing is going to empower you. That blessing comes from the word bless, mean barakah. And we the word blessing has to do with the word barak, same as you pronounce a president's name. But it means to empower one. So he's going to give you the power. He's going to add a little super to your what? Your natural, to raise you up to do what God's called you to do. So when he gives you something to do, don't fall back and say, there are giants in the land, I can't do this. No, God's going to take you into a place He's going to give you a piece of property you can't afford. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. Let me clarify that. If I tell you, well, let me take my son, for example. I tell David, just when he was younger. I said, David, he said, Dad, you know, I got my driver's license now. I said, okay. He said, I want to raise money to buy my car. I said, okay, son, I think that's very noble. I think that's God. And he says, well, I tell you, I said this. Whatever you raise, I'll double it. You know what I mean by that? I mean, you raise, I'll match what you do. So if he raises a certain amount, if he raises $5 and I match what he does, what is he going to end up with? $10, okay? Now, if that be the case, taking a little swig here. If that be the case, is he going to look for a car he can afford? What kind of car is he going to look for now? One we can afford. Come on now. You see, God doesn't want you to do what you can do. He wants you to do what he can afford. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, okay. We worked that. All right. Now, so new principles. Why? Because we got to stop the demonic slide. And we got to bring the culture back. We got to reshift that culture. Now, we got to have kingdom consciousness. It says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. And what will happen? All these things will be added to you. Now, what has happened? We preach church, but not kingdom. And when you preach church, everybody trying to come in before they die so they can go to heaven. Come on. We're talking about fire insurance. All right? And so what happens is if you are preaching kingdom, you're preaching heaven coming where? To earth. See, he said, pray thy kingdom come. Come on. Thy will be done where? As it is where? In heaven, see. In kingdom, you can get healed now. Come on now. In kingdom, you can have some joy now. See, in kingdom. Because what has happened when you preach church, everybody come into the four walls, get a little joy in the morning, and then get back out there Monday morning, and it's Blue Monday. And so what I'm saying is, let's get this thing turned back around and understand, we can live like heaven right on earth. And we can do it now. And when people see us, they're going to want to buy into what we're doing. Say, well, what do you know? I know Bill Winston. Well, praise God. Okay, so let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20. Now, it's interesting that this kingdom of God, it comes with power. It comes, the kingdom of God is not in word, keep going, but in what? It's in power. So I'm saying that you can expect the power of God to be with you, to deliver you, to heal you, to protect you. Because God says, I'm sending you as sheep among what? Wolves. So don't be concerned as to whether they can hurt you. Because 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not, come on, come nigh you. I'm talking about any plague. I'm talking about the flu. I'm talking about, come on, I'm talking about whatever it is, see. But this doesn't work if you don't what? Believe it. You got to believe it. You got to step out on God's portion. You got to believe when God says, I'm going to add to your car. I'm going to add to your health. I'm going to add to your physical resistance. I'm going to add to your, are you following what I'm saying? You got to step out on that. Because if you just hear it and don't step out on it, you don't believe it. And so I'm here to convince you through the word of God that every word he spoke, is true. He said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, let God be what? True, and every man be a liar. Now, I know what the doctor said about you. I know that. But God said that you can come into the house of God and call for the elders of the church, and they'll anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will deliver the sick. Say amen to that. See, I got to get myself believing more in what God said than what he said or she said or the professional said or somebody. It doesn't make any difference if you're missing a uterus. God's got more uteruses for you. It doesn't make, come on, any difference if you can't hear. Well, I'm 80 years old. Makes no difference. For as long as you're in this earth, all of this applies to you. Say amen. So once you come into the kingdom, you get kingdom privileges. You get protection. You get enjoyment. Come on, you get peace. Come on, families are brought together. I'm talking about what God did for Bill Winston, he's going to do for you. He said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, Jesus said this, I tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what on the earth? He didn't even say love. He said what? Faith. Faith. Why? Because the enemy is after faith. Because he knows it's only through faith can you make that climb. It's only through faith can you oppose the devil. It's only through faith can you get God's hand to move for you. So we're going to have to make sure, wait a minute, I'm not going to let the devil steal my faith. I'm going to stay with God. And one way that the enemy can steal your faith is steal your love. Because faith worketh how? It works by love. Glory to God. All right. Can I go further? All right now, glory to God. Oh, Jesus. Okay. I got something for you now. Don't back up on me because I got you covered. All right. Now, Moses. Oh, my God. Should I get into this? How much time I got? In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. No, chapter 2 and verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Let me know when you get there. And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. All right, now let me just put some arms and legs on this. Let's go to Exodus chapter 11, verse 8. Let me try that. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves to me, saying, get thee out. And all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from him, from Pharaoh, in a great what? Anger. This is Moses. Now why don't people climb and reach that full potential? I have a reason for it. There's some other reasons, but here's one reason. Because they're comfortable with ungodliness. We can't get complacent with injustice or any of the things of the prince of darkness. Today, what I've seen is Satan pointing his bony finger at the church, saying, I dare you to challenge me. Pharaoh was mocking the people of God, and they were paralyzed with fear. And many times the church has been intimidated. And Satan has said this, try to stop me. Now, because we didn't know some things, we didn't challenge him. Because those Bibles never should have come out of those schools. Now, I'm just talking now because that's not justice. Say amen. Amen. And so the enemy is strutting around, mocking folks. And all society he's trying to get all society to flow with him. And really, he has no real power because it's been stripped. Are you with me here? And the church is the most powerful institution in the world right now. So Jesus sent us to give people a future and a hope. Say amen. Amen. Now, what needs to happen? First, the blinders must come off of the church. Now, Satan comes to blind the minds. Now, listen, I'm not going to leave you right here. If you just sit here long enough, we're going to come out of this. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The enemy comes to blind the minds of them that believe not. Why? Because revelation is a requirement to possess your mountain. If you're going to go up against the enemy, you're going to have revelation. Say amen to this. Now, your future, based upon you being placed by God and purposed in God's purpose, is now up to you. It's not up to God. It's up to me. And I was in a situation, glory to God, where I was with a company and I couldn't leave. And the reason why I couldn't leave is because I couldn't get enough faith. I couldn't get enough power to leave. But then I heard a man preaching on Mark 10:29-30. No man that's left house or mother, father, sister. And I took that and I began to meditate that scripture until that scripture began to speak to me from the inside out. And my mind got convinced that if I left the company, I was going to even do better than I was with the company. Oh, Jesus. Because stay with me now. Stay with me. Because God was calling me out. He's not calling you out, so stay where you are. He was calling me out. Now, Satan wants to keep people from knowledge. And that knowledge that I'm talking about is revelation. He doesn't care if you have information. But he said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, stay with me now, stay with me, please. He's saying that therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have what? No knowledge. Now, this is not information, because information won't get you there. Revelation is going to get you there. And when you get this revelation inside of you, glory to God, I got all my notes here, but I'm trying to read them while I'm talking. You enter into revelation because, glory to God, with revelation, you can see. And if you can see, you can believe. And everything you see and believe technically becomes yours. Everything. And you hear what I'm saying now? And even favor. Say favor. When God gives you favor, you will get anything you request. Now let me show you how this works. You remember Esther. And Mordecai, her uncle, said, Esther, go in there and intercede for the Jews. What did Esther do? She said, no, I can't go in there. The king doesn't invite you. He doesn't invite you in there. You can get killed. He'll cut your head off because you've entered in without being called. He said, Esther, if you don't go, God will raise us, deliver us some other way. So she fasted 3 days and went in there. When she went in there, this is Esther chapter 5. Amen. Somebody back there knows you've been studying Esther. Amen. Esther chapter 5. I'm just trying to turn to the scripture because I want you to see that particular scripture. Esther chapter 5, and look at verse 1. Let's just start. No. Glory to God. Look at verse 2. I'm trying to save time. I'm out of time. Look at verse 2. Have you got it? He said, and it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained what?
Favor.
One more time.
Favor.
Louder.
Favor.
In the sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near, glory to God, and touched the top of the scepter. Watch this. And said the king unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to what? Half of my kingdom. Now notice, whatever you ask, when favor is working for you, it will make people give you. Lord, no, y'all ain't doing me right now. How about during the time of Moses and Moses taking the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 35, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and the Lord gave the people. I need a loud response.
Favor.
Now notice what happened. They had all this gold, all this jewels, all these St. John suits. They had all of this, and when the people asked for it, they just gave it to them. Now, I'm saying it's not you. It's God who put something on them to make them give you whatever you ask. Now, I'm going back to, if I can give you enough money for that, if you can save up enough money, then I give you twice. Don't just use what you got. Come on, step on in and order a car that's twice as much. I'm just saying the same thing about favor. See, don't be trying to feel faith. I wonder if God's going to do this. Try it. Step out on it. Say amen. Listen, ask the people for what you want. Stop settling for what you don't want. No, you did not hear me now. He gave them favor. And here they came out of there with jewels and silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Listen, every family was made rich. Listen, wait a minute. They had worked for centuries but not gotten paid. But now it's payday. And watch this. And one day of favor is worth a lifetime of labor. One more time. One day of favor is worth a lifetime of labor. You see, when you got favor, you can come into the service late and get a front seat. I'm talking about favor that's about to come on you because this is your set time. Look what it says over in Psalm 102 and verse 13. This is a part of what's about to happen to you as you're going into the place where God's sending you. Somebody's going to give you favor. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Zion represents the church. For the time to what? Favor her, yea, that set time has come. 2016 is your year. Now, it's not only your year of favor, It's not only your year of recompense, but it's going to be your year of increase. That God is going to increase you like never before. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Come on now. Come on. Stay with me. I'm here to tell you right now, glory to God, that this is your year, and glory to God, and whatever has been planned for your life that the enemy has been holding back, you are breaking forth starting today. And whatever has been resisting God's plan for your life shall be stopped right now. Whatever has been holding you down is going to let you go. Whatever's been tampering with your destiny, your family, your money, your health, oh yeah, come on now. Whatever's been humiliating you, been against your career, been against your business, been against your job, your children, what's been against your education, it's going to let you go starting. Now, what do you have to do? You have to believe you're a man of God, because it doesn't work if you don't believe it. You got to leave here saying, wait a minute, I believe my man of God. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, he talks about the man of God. And look what he said. How then shall they call on him who they've not believed? How shall they believe on him who they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? I got news for you. I've been sent. I've been sent for you. I've been sent to tell you something. That your time of favor has come. I've been sent to tell you this. Don't just act on what you can do. Now act on what God can do. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, one more thing. Now, this is going to be kind of controversial, but I want you to stay with me. Don't run out on me when I say this, and don't go out of here and talk about me. And you know it passes here. Put it up there again. John chapter 14, verse 21. John 14, 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, it's he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my who? Father. And I will love who? And what will I do? I'll manifest myself to him. Now, I want you to see this. All right. Now, we've got some things that are going on that are unjust. For a man to shoot a man 16 times like that is unjust. Do you agree to that? All right. Now, we agree to that. However, also going into the hood and seeing people who look like they shoot each other. Come on now. See, ain't nobody talking about that. See, and somebody with boldness got to talk about this. So I'm here to tell you right now that it doesn't start with just the kids in the street. It starts with the kids in the home. Come on, somebody got to say something now. Say amen. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says for us to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, what we're saying, that children are not self-sufficient. They cannot train themselves. And training means that you're going to set boundaries on their life. Say amen to this. Now, the Bible tells you to do this, and if you do it, well, I'm just a single parent. If you do it, God says, I'll come in and help you. I will manifest myself. You just tell him what to do, and I'll make sure he does it. Come on. At Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, because some people don't like that. Praise God. He says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but a rod of correction shall what? Drive it far from him. Come on now. Now, sometimes people, right, today, Pastor, we don't do that. We really don't spank our children. Wait, you don't love God, because the love of God is to keep his commandments. Some children don't need
that true. And the other thing, don't abuse a child. God has made a place for the paddle. The place is right back here. Can y'all see that? The place is right back here. So the place is right. My wife looking at me. Okay, y'all, I'm under the anointing now. I'm under the anointing. Stay with me. It's in the back part. It's in the behind. It's in the derriere. And you take this paddle there, and it won't kill him. It'll drive out foolishness. Now, some kids don't need this. You can just raise your voice, and those kids will pack up. My point to you is, put some boundaries on them. Listen, they're looking for boundaries. That shows you love them. Put some boundaries on them. Somebody said, well, what did they start pouting when I do that? Be of good courage and understand we ain't gonna pout for long. When they get hungry, that lip is gonna come back in their mouth. Say amen. We're not talking about hurting children or whatever, but when I was young, you act up out there in the neighborhood. It takes a village to raise a child. And then the people who you act up at, they'll kind of spank you. Then they send you home and your mother says, what did you do? Come here, bring me that. Bring it. And she'll spank you. Wait till your daddy get home. Wait a minute. You just did it, mama. No, you haven't had it yet. You wait till your daddy get home. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Help me. I'm just saying, come on, we got to start in the house. Now give God praise. He's Tatarabahanda. Folks, they go get training at home. Then some of them end up down in Cook County to be trained. Only thing they're doing is putting boundaries on them. That's what we're supposed to do. Stop this new age stuff that we don't do this. The Bible says if you don't correct your child, you don't love them. It says you hate your child. He that has my commandments and keeps them, that's the one who loves me. Come on. What are we doing? When you train your child, you're ensuring your child's future. And that's what we're after. We're after changing a culture and take it back to the culture of the kingdom. Did you get something out of that? Hey, man. If you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. Listen, don't be ashamed of it. This is a time for you. This is one of the reasons for this church coming here on Sundays, because we invite people who don't know Christ. And now you can get him in you. Once you get him in you, now you can have that.